Well, let's get my message now. Let's see. Does that clock work? Is that 9:30 it says up there? 10:40? I'm looking at that clock up there. It looks like a quarter till 7. Man, I got lots of time to preach this morning. Holy mackerel. I was going to put an app on my smartphone. I don't wear a watch usually. I just usually know what time it is. I was going to put an app on my smartphone, but I'm not that smart to put an app on my smartphone to do that. I couldn't tell. You know. So let's get on with this. How to Conquer Fear is the message I want to share with you this morning. And one of the pastors did mention the fear that is created when there's a homicide near you or when you know of somebody. And I believe that God wants us to conquer fear. So the passage I want to preach from is from Matthew chapter 28. And here it is. You follow along. I'm not sure if I have the right translation on there compared to my Bible, so I'm just going to read from here. Jesus says this: "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, get this about sparrows and hare. Jesus said this about sparrows: "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Interesting here, Jesus said, first of all, he says you are to fear one aspect, and that's the fear of the Lord, fear of God. There is a good fear and there's a destructive fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's good fear. It's an awed reverence of God's power and His majesty and His might. In other words, God is way above me. I mean, I'm not just His buddy, you know. I can put my arm around in the morning and say, "Hey, let's go have breakfast." You know, God is far above my who I am. So that's good fear. But there's destructive fear that I think is causing the ruin of believers every day. There's a fear of losing your job, fear of losing your home, your car, your health, your children, your savings. Lots of fear today in today's society, especially among believers. Fear robs believers of joy, and it destroys optimism. It destroys faith. And we have lots of things to fear about. There's AIDS, and there's crime, and Ebola cancer, and heart disease, and car crashes, and tornadoes, and wildfires, and hospitals that cut off the wrong limb when you go in, you know. Our knowledge has created a lot of fear, hasn't it? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, this is an interesting phrase that Solomon wrote. He said, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." Now, that's interesting that he says that. But, friends, there are some things I wish I'd never learned about. There are some things I wish I'd never had the knowledge about because they cause all sorts of fears. I wish I didn't know that eggs could kill me through cholesterol and salmonella poisoning. During my blissful days of ignorance, I could eat bacon and eggs no problem. No fear. Now I can't even look at an egg without thinking, "You killer, you're going to clot my arteries. You're going to die. You're going to cause me to die. You're going to poison me." I can't even look at a strip of bacon now without thinking, "You murderer, you're going to give me, you know, a stroke." And then just as I began to cut back on my cholesterol take and follow all the wisdom of medical MD society, I read that certain kind of cholesterol was actually good for me. Wait a minute, I thought all cholesterol was bad. So I started eating oat bran and bran muffins and fruit and fiber cereals and all those things that taste like bark, you know, or grass. And now I'm told that they're not all they're hyped up to be. And they don't cut down on cholesterol that much, but sugar has been termed a killer. So you're advised to use additives. But then you're informed that the additives cause cancer in rats. It seems so. You get all upset about this, and you pop in a Tums or a Rolaids, but then you find out that antacids contain aluminum and are a possible cause of Alzheimer's disease. Beef has cancer-causing hormones. Chicken has salmonella poisoning. Fish has iodine, and apples have cancer-causing spray. I mean, I'm getting scared to even open the refrigerator. Because everything in it says preservatives, cholesterol, chemicals, substitutes, additives. We're all here just waiting for you. Isn't it great to have all this knowledge? Isn't it great? Solomon said it increases fear, doesn't it? Sure. Now, it really does just pile it on. Several years ago, I had to go in for surgery in the hospital, quite a few years. Recently, I just had 2 months of chemotherapy for a non-Hodgkin's blood cancer. And I went through that. I didn't have a fear in my body. Didn't have a fear in my life because of something I learned earlier from the Lord. Quite a few years ago, I went in for surgery. It wasn't major surgery. Most of you can talk about your surgery and come out of it as testimony of bravery. You know, you can point to the scars and as a testimony of your battle scar. This is where they laid me open for open heart surgery. Or, you know, you can describe your near-death experience sort of in heroic means, but I can't do that about my surgery because, well, there's nothing heroic about hemorrhoid surgery, all right? It just isn't. So I decided I'll make light of it. I'll just joke about it. I told people when they asked me, well, what's the problem? You know, what do you do? I say, well, I just can't sit on my problem anymore, I guess. Make matters worse, when I went to the doctor, the doctor of this particular procedure, he wasn't in a big medical building. It was in sort of a home where the office. He had an office and a home at the same time. So I pulled up and discreetly, and the sign in front of the doctor's office, and I'm not kidding you, it said this, office in rear. But on a serious note, after I came out of surgery, came home from the hospital, I experienced some sort of medical reaction that put me in a sense of great fear and anxiety. I can't describe it. It must have been probably from the pain medication or something like that. I'm not sure. But it really just caused me. I was just anxious and fearful of everything. I couldn't get a handle on it. My wife came home one day and I was curled up under the kitchen table in a ball. You know, that's how much fear it put into me. And so I just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't live with this fear. Your word is full of promises to keep people from it. I want to face life with joy and rest, simple trust. I need to be free from this fear. And the Holy Spirit sort of just put me in a headlock and pointed me to the verses that we read just a few minutes ago. And he told me this. He said, The key to the freedom from fear and worry is two words, sparrows and hare. It sounds so simple, it sounds so elementary, but I have found that the Lord's simplest truths are usually the most powerful in my life. You don't have to be a theologian to discover God's most powerful truths for your life. King David said, He delivered me from all my fears. How in the world did he do that? How did David find that kind of freedom? Like this, friends, he simply discovered how big God's greatness was and how much God has made us to reflect His glory. He got a vision of the Lord's greatness. So, sparrows and hare. What did Jesus mean by that? Let's look at the lowly sparrow. There's about 9,000 species of birds, and Jesus referred to the most lowest of them, a sparrow. In the U.S. alone, there are 35 different species of kinds of sparrows. And as common as they are, yeah, excuse me if I cough. I've had a lot of junk lately, all right, as with going around. So please excuse me for that. I'm sorry. Sparrows are wonderfully made. Modern science still can't copy the intricate wing system that allows them to fly almost up to 3,000 miles. Each sparrow has upward of 2,600 feathers, and every one is intricately made and detailed. God designed every bone, every feather, and He counted every one of them. In Christ's time, sparrows were often sold in the market for inexpensive food to peasants. They were trapped and sold on a skewer, usually two for a penny. Jesus said this. Remember what He said? Not one of them was trapped without my Father's knowledge. Isn't that amazing? The lowest sparrow, the lowest bird, and Jesus said, my Father knows every one of them. He knew where each one of them was before they drew their last breath in their little lungs. Not only that, Jesus said, my Father feeds them. He takes care of them. Even those on the skewers, He knows every one of them. And hair. Listen, look at the hair on our heads. Every hair on our head is counted by our Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Between 100,000 and 150,000 hairs blanket your head. And even those of us who are losing some of it, and those that are bald, even still have the vellus variety here, which is barely seen by the human eye, but it's still there. God's made hair useful also, not just for looks, but just it's useful. Hair on our heads is insulation during winter and summer. Your eyebrows keep sweat out of your eyes. Your eyelashes protect your eyelids from tiny insects and dust. Tiny hairs in your ears and your nostrils filter out incoming air and a lot of germs. And even hair under your arms provides help when to reduce friction when you walk. It's so simple, but what a marvelous and intricate thing a simple hair is on our head. If you could grasp what an awesome creation God has made, how full of life it is, you would never doubt that God numbers what He's created. Every hair on our head tunnels deep in our skin to reach blood vessels through it. Every hair has muscles and nerves and glands. And if you ever touch your head ever so slightly on your head, your hair's nerves will instantly alert your brain and you'll feel it. Melanin produces color in hair, and God put an incredible color factory in every one of our scalps. And if left alone, it can grow up to 25 feet in a lifetime. In these simple verses that Jesus said about sparrows and hair, Jesus is telling us, and this instruction, what He's saying, don't fear. He's created every sparrow. He knows how intricate it is. Not only that, He's formed every human body. He's numbered every hair on your head. The Bible says this, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and by Him. Jesus is the Creator. God and Jesus being a perfect union, God allowed Jesus to be the Creator. Together they came up with the earth, the planets, the stars, and everything. And so I'm sure that Jesus, probably when He was talking through the disciples, he probably wanted to tell them about how He made the wings and bones of a sparrow and how He designed the hair. I can just imagine He turning to Peter, and during this time in which He's telling them, don't fear, He could have said, Peter, what if I told you that right now you have 127,533 hairs on your head? You have 162 eyebrows on your left, 165 in your right. You have 137 hair follicles in your nostrils. You have 306 in your left ear. You have 319 in your right ear. And your beard has 33,954 hairs. Now, Peter, since I have numbered every hair on your head, won't you trust me with your life? Won't you trust me that I know what's good for you, that I know about you? Won't you believe me that I know every step you take? What if Jesus were to turn to the disciple James and said, Jim, Did you know that there are 2,396,437,515 sparrows on earth as of yesterday? Now, in the last 24 hours, 2,603,000 have died a natural death. And there are 986,152 being trapped today or killed. And today in Jerusalem, there are 2,950 on a skewer ready to be sold. Now, James, not one of them falls to the Father's ground without my knowledge. Now, knowing this, will you now stop being so anxious about your life? Will you trust me to take care of your needs? Will you stop worrying about what I'm going to eat or drink? Will you now believe that your Heavenly Father knows everything about you? The psalmist declared this: "How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand." Listen, friends, the Lord knows and thinks on every part of you. He cares for your body, but He goes much farther. He counts every hair, every muscle, every fiber, and He's aware of every tear that you've shed. The psalmist said He counts them and puts them in a bottle and saves them. Beloved, God can be trusted in your life if you'll trust Him. Church, the world is not looking for more doctrinal proof of the reality of God. It's not looking for greater proofs of the resurrection. It's not looking for greater proofs of the creation. I'll tell you what the world's looking for. I'll tell you what your community's looking for. Non-Christians are looking for Christians who can stand up to every crisis, every fear, every trouble, every difficulty, and yet remain calm and rest in the midst of them. Jesus said we wouldn't have those things. He just said, as Christians, we have one who knows everything about our lives. The world needs to see one of God's children trusting wholly in the Lord. The world is looking for a Christian that they can point to and say, there is a person who isn't a complainer. He doesn't fret about tomorrow. He doesn't run when trouble comes. He isn't worried about it. His faith holds him up. His Jesus takes him through. And whether you know it or not, you're witnessing every day with how you react to the problems in your life. People see you going through a tough time and they watch and listen, saying to themselves, will they live what they preach? Will their Jesus let them down? Or will he or she act just like the rest of us who don't confess Christ and worry and fret all day? What comes to your lips when things get tough? When things get tough, friends, continued sadness is just a terrible confession for a believer. Now, I know there are seasons of sadness. There are. We all go through seasons of when you lose a loved one, when you hear bad news. There's nothing wrong with being sad. It's just continued sadness makes the world think that somehow God has failed you, that God's neglected you. I guess there's no God. He's sad all the time. The Bible says that Hannah, Samuel's mother, was sad and she poured out her soul before the Lord. And then it says this, and then as she went her way, her sadness was no more. Beloved, the majestic Lord who has done all these incredible works, who has all the power and might, is on your side. And that's what Jesus is trying to show us today in these two simple illustrations about a lowly sparrow and hair on your head. He says, if you want to conquer fear, begin to comprehend my greatness and that I'm on your side. When I was in fifth grade, we used to have snowball fights during recess. That was before they outlawed throwing snowballs. You know, during recess, you can't do that anymore. I don't know. Maybe the kids sneak it in. We used to have snowball fights between classes, usually third and fourth grade, take on fifth and sixth grade, something like that. And these were serious snowball fights. And if you got caught in one, you got caught with a guy holding a snowball, and he tackled you, it was fair game to rub the snowball in your face. That was just fair game. There was a big guy in our elementary. His name was John Hathaway, I remember him. Big sixth grader. I mean, he was big. heavy. Everybody was afraid of him. He was Big Bad John before the song ever came out by Jimmy Dean. You know, if you... So one day we were having lined up for the snowball fight. We looked across on our line. You know, we line up like in battle lines, old battle lines. And across the way was John Hathaway. Everybody was scared when John was on the other side because he was going to take down some kids. And his snowballs would hurt. He lined up on the other side. We were all ready to split when they said go. Until we saw John coming running at us alone. We were just about ready to turn and run until John started yelling. He said, "Wait a minute, don't go anywhere. Wait a minute. I'm on your side today." That gave us courage. We lined back up. Big John, he's on our side now. We're gonna win today. We're gonna rub some faces with snowballs today. You see, when John came over, it made all the difference in the world as to who was going to win. Friends, Jesus is on your side. And he's bigger than any Big John could fathom. And when he takes your side, you can know and rest assured that I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear and fret. To have freedom from worry is to rest confidently in the Lord of hosts. If he cares about lowly sparrows, if he cares about counting hairs, think how much more he wants to care about you. Now, I've got a short little video I want to share with you about one of my favorite speakers. His name is Louis Giglio. And he talks about I love him because he talks about astronomy, stars, and how God made the stars and how they speak praises to his name, and whales in the ocean, and how our bodies are made, and how God is so intricately involved in us. And he talks about this thing you're going to hear about, a protein that you'll never forget. It's called laminin. And I want to show you this video. Maybe you've seen it before, but if you haven't, you're going to just be thankful for your God has created you. Let's hear Louis Giglio talk about this. And let's go here, right here.
Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me. Says, "How are you doing? I just want to say hello." I said, "It's nice to meet you." He says, "You guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here?" I said, "Well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia." He said, "Well, what's next for you?" I said, "I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta." He said, "Oh, cool. What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, the series is on the glory of God and the human body." He said, "That's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk." And I was like, "Oh, wow." I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, "Uh-huh, that's good." And then he says, "Well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right?" I said, "I don't have a left hook yet." He said, "Oh, Louis. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin." And I'm totally blank on laminin. He goes, "Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule." And I'm like, "All right." He said, "No, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin." And I'm like, "I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them." He said, "No. You've got to see laminin." I'm like, "Okay. Let's see it." He said, "No. You need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin." I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out. He writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminate, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, wow, that's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's crazy. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. How crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by Him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this, it's crazy. And He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him, that is, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood shed on a cross.
Isn't that amazing? Science can't explain why in an atom the proton and neutron, which reject each other, still hang together. Yeah. And I love that verse. It says, verse 17, the last one there, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Isn't it incredible how God made us? But He gives us two simple illustrations today why we're not to fear. He uses a sparrow and hairs on our head to tell us if He knows when one falls, if He knows every hair on your head, you can trust Him with your life because He knows what you need and He wants to bless you in your life. Well, that's a great lesson to learn. I hope we can apply it and help you to conquer fear. Let's pray together, shall we? God, thank You so much that You've taught me to just rest in Your will. And Lord, no matter what comes my way, good or bad, I can trust in You. Because, Lord, You know the steps that I take. Your Word says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, and I know that though I can't see my future, You know what it holds, and I'm in Your hands, and You'll take care of me. As You'll take care of every believer here today, I know, Lord, that if we say to You, God, I trust You today. I want to put my faith in You. I want to trust in You. I want to be free from fear and worry and anxiety. Lord, I know that you can accomplish that in your people's lives today. So I pray that you'll bless this church, and I pray that you'll bless the believer today who makes that commitment to trust in you no matter what happens. In Jesus' name, amen.